Hey, babe.
It's Aisha Christina. Nice to meet you.
This is Quality Queen Control.
What is happening?
Hey, angels. Happy Tuesday. Okay, so we have a lot to talk about, as per usual. So I know if you guys were tuned in to my last live from Thursday, I've been going live for the past, I believe, 2 Thursdays, and it has been incredible. I mean, the last, you know, live was even better than the first one, and I am definitely going to do another live this Thursday, so you know a little bit something that maybe my channel doesn't know yet, so that's the perks of listening to my podcast. You sometimes get to know information before it hits everyone else. So I told you guys also that I wanted to start doing submissions where I choose a couple of questions that I'm going to answer for you guys. And the response was so astounding that I guess I ultimately just decided that I'm just going to choose this time to actually answer a bunch of questions that you guys have, you know, asked me, because there were so many. At first, I started with 4, and then I was like, wait, but then there are so many other ones that I also want to answer. So I figured instead I would just save, you know, another topic for another day, and I can also choose, you know, kind of to do what I want. So let's say if I really had something like on my mind and I really want to discuss it, then I'll do that, and I'll still do the segment of, which I don't have a name for it yet. Let me know if you guys have any ideas for a name for like the segment that I should do for like when I answer you guys' questions. So I hope that makes sense. What we are going to do today, like I said, is answer a lot of you guys' questions. So also, if you're not following me on Instagram, follow me on Instagram, because if you were wondering, wait, how do I submit questions? Well, if you follow me on Instagram, then you would know that's where I do them. I am going to be posting them on Sundays, and you guys just submit any questions you want to ask me, or you just explain your situation, and I will select it like out of whatever I see, like that's really, really good and interesting. I will select that to discuss in my podcast. So whoever submitted this first go round, really, really lucky, because I'm going to be answering a lot of them. Okay, so firstly, the question that I got was, how do you avoid getting hurt if at all possible? So I feel like I've kind of discussed this a bunch of times. I mean, it's an amalgam of things. It's about having boundaries. It's about trusting yourself. It's about listening to your intuition. It's about reflecting, you know, and in that reflection, also understanding patterns, right? There is always some sort of similarity, you know, with the guys that we choose to date. And it has nothing to do with the physicality of them. But a lot of us, I know for myself, you know, before I started to really assess the type of guys that I was dating, I noticed that, you know, when I was in the heat of things, I was kind of searching for, you know, I guess someone that I really admired, because I didn't realize that those same things I was looking for in that individual or in those individuals were things that were already inside myself. So when you are in a position where you are not settled at all in your life, you will 100% attract people that are not settled. And the difference is between being settled and attracting unsettled people, and being unsettled and attracting unsettled people, is that you're not able to recognize it, and you end up in a toxic dynamic. As opposed to when you are settled in your own life and you have things going for you, it becomes easier to let certain things go, because you're not bored enough to divulge in anyone's chaos or anything like that. And you realize, okay, why would I bother entertaining the situation when I'm clearly in a different space than this individual is? So avoiding the hurt, I don't think is impossible. I mean, like I would not say that I've ever been heartbroken before. I've been sad about something, but I don't know. I don't really know. I have been sad about, you know, a guy before. I've cried, but I don't know if I would consider it heartbreak. And that's not me saying that to look cool in any way, because I really do value vulnerability, and I think there's strength in vulnerability, which is why I appreciate you guys being so receptive to me, you know, showing more of my personality, or all of my personality, I should say, on my channel recently. It's been amazing, the feedback that you guys have been giving me, and the support is so motivating. And you guys can see that, which is why I'm so active on all my social media now. So I love you guys so much. But yeah, I don't think there's a way to avoid getting hurt in the way where it's impossible. Like, there will be people that disappoint you. Why? Because we are human beings and we are flawed. Do I think that you can avoid it after it happens, maybe once or twice? Yes, because you now have data of certain things. You know, maybe outcomes didn't go your way, and now you should be able to assess, okay, this is the thing. You need to learn, and I said this in my last podcast, you have to learn how to walk away from a situation without something grand happening. You don't need a grand, you know, gesture or fight or to demonize someone's character in order to let go of something. And that's the problem. We wait too long in situations in order to be like, okay, now I'm done. It's like, and this comes with wisdom, and I don't want to say age, because that has nothing to do with maturity, but this comes with wisdom and maturity, understanding that not everything needs to end in this big chaotic, you know, situation or a huge argument and blowout for me to walk away from something and say, you know what, it's not for me. Like, learn to let things go at the first sign that you realize you're on a different page with somebody. It is okay. That is the best way to avoid getting hurt. But in the grand scheme of life, I think everyone gets hurt or disappointed at least once. So I hope that answers your question. Okay, another question I have is, how do I stop being codependent? Well, to stop being codependent, that means that we have some issues to address here. One, definitely childhood trauma. Okay, attachment styles. I have a video on that on my channel as well, where you have to identify, okay, why do I feel the need to cling on to people so much? And only toxic people are attracted to people that are codependent. Only. Why? Because they want to feel needed. It's like prime for manipulation and manipulative people, period. So to stop being codependent, you have to, one, address the trauma, okay? Figure out why you are this way. What are you looking for in another person? What are your fears and your triggers? You know, what was your upbringing like where you felt like you have this fear of abandonment, so you have to depend on someone and you feel like your value is in clinging to another person? Because that's essentially what part of it is, right? So you have to address these things and actually have answers for them, not just like ask yourself a question and be like, that was a good question. No, you need to have answers for these questions so that you can actually fix them. If you can't identify the source of the problem, then you cannot fix it at all. So to stop being codependent, you got to figure out why you are. It really is that cut and dry and simple. And I, of course, I wouldn't personally know that, because everyone is codependent for different reasons. But I also know that after you identify why you are codependent, then the obvious thing is that's next is finding that value in yourself, right? And it's going to take time, okay? And finding hobbies and things of your genuine interest, and having solitude so that you can see what it's like to be alone. People that are usually codependent are usually serial monogamous, because they have to be with somebody. They have to depend on someone. And that is going to lead you into very unhappy dynamics. Why? Because nobody likes to be suffocated. No healthy and emotionally sound individual wants someone up under them 24/7. We think we do, the younger we are. Oh, I just want to wake up to him. Oh, I just want to, like, you know, when I was in high school and, like, I had a boyfriend, like, we would FaceTime we would go to sleep on FaceTime together. Literally, like, I would go shower. We FaceTime again while I'm on the school bus. Then I see him immediately as soon as I walked through the door in school. Like, that was, and it was cute and it was fun. But when you are older and you have so many different things to do, if you're in college and you have to study, you don't have time to map out dedicating, you know, waking up, you know, to someone every 5 seconds and, you know, being up under them. It's unhealthy because eventually when that honeymoon phase, you know, ends and you're still on this, you know, this course, and it's going to push someone away because they're going to be like, okay, I need a break from you. And you're going to find yourself in a lot of dynamics where guys, you feel like it's sick of you and you're not understanding why. And it's like, oh, because you need to find people need to have their own thing going on. That's being healthy, okay? I really do believe in absence makes the heart grow fonder. I really do believe in that. It's so nice to just have your own thing and then come together at the end of the day and just, you know, talk about your day or talk about your week. Like, I understand everyone goes through a honeymoon phase, but codependent people seem to stay in that phase, you know, where it's just like they want to be up under someone every 5 seconds. Nothing about that is healthy. And the more emotionally sound you become on your journey, you also will realize you don't want a man that's going to be up under you either, because where does he not work? Does he not have a job? Does he not have things to do? Like, I don't want a guy messaging me every 5 seconds. Hey, what's up? What are you up to? Because after a while, that conversation, like, we talk so much, there's nothing else to talk about. I have things to do. I don't have time to be texting, communicating 24/7. And that also shows confidence as well. It's like, I trust that this person is, you know, doing what they say they're doing. They're at work right now. You know what I mean? I don't need to check in every 5 seconds and, like, you know, feel like I need to be showed constant, you know, admiration and you know, someone like fawning over you every 5 seconds. You have to identify, to answer your question, identify why you are codependent, and then start to curate healthy habits and spend time alone in solitude so that you can know what it's like to survive on your own and finding that balance in yourself. You being codependent just highlights that you don't trust yourself to be alone with yourself. You haven't even, you know, dated yourself. You haven't figured out what you like, what you want to do. You have to love you before you expect someone else to. Okay. So how do you protect a person you love from a psychopath? Well, I think this is actually an amazing question, because how many of us have had friends where we see that they're in an unhealthy dynamic. Maybe someone's being controlling, or you don't like the way they speak to your friend. And it's like, what do you do? Like, no one really likes to get in anyone's, you know, any couple's business. I think your job as a friend is to drop the seeds, express your concern. But they say that people that are in, you know, abusive type of dynamics, whether that be physical or mental, only they know when they can leave. You can't force someone to see something that they're clearly not seeing. No matter how obvious it is to you, things have to run their course. And if you make someone leave prematurely, right, all you're going to do, one, it honestly may not even work. But if you do force them to leave prematurely, they are not going to learn the lesson that they have learned. People sometimes have to dig their own grave in order to be like, oh crap, you were right. Because clearly they're in that because there's something that they need to learn. And of course, the obvious thing to do as a friend is like, I need to save this person. But you're saving them from their own lesson that they clearly need to learn. That's why I said in the beginning of answering this question that it is your job as a friend. You drop the seeds. Hey, listen. Let's say your friend's name is Brittany. Hey, Britt, I really, you know, I love you so much, but I'm a little concerned as your friend. I'm not judging you. I just want you to know that I love you so much. And it does bother me when I see your boyfriend speak to you in a certain way. I kind of feel like his tone is a little aggressive, and he did it in front of, you know, our dinner last night where all of us hung out with, you know, everyone as friends. And I just think it was a little harsh, and I'm not accusing anyone of anything, but it's just something that I've been noticing, that he seems very aggressive in his tone with you. And I just want you to know that if there's ever a time where you want to talk and maybe you feel like you may be judged for what's really going on here, I am here to be a listening ear. But I can't, as your friend, watch someone treat you like this and it be okay and let you think that it's okay or be okay with it, because I genuinely do love you. And I'm not telling you right now, leave him right now because of what he's doing. But I would want you to know that I would appreciate if you do confide in me, and maybe you and I can talk about these things and we can help you figure out a plan of action for, you know, getting, you know, maybe out of this relationship, if that's something that you secretly do desire, or whatever the case is. I don't really know. You can have a conversation like that, but protecting someone is not usually going to work, because it's the same type of dynamic as if you're in a relationship, let's say you're 16 years old and you're talking to a guy and your parents are all like, we don't want you with this guy. And you just look at it as, no, you guys just don't want me to be with him because you guys are just my parents and you guys just want to control me and you want to do this and do that. And that's kind of what these dynamics tend to be like, because people that are usually in aggressive dynamics, what? People that are usually in abusive dynamics are usually, they're easily manipulated, and their mental state is they've been, you know, badgered, and, you know, they're not in the best mental state, right? To keep it very PC. And considering that, they're very easily manipulated. And so, and especially they spend more time with that individual more than they're probably spending with you, right? So they may try and push the narrative of, okay, but that was just one time. Like, you don't know how, like, he's really nice to me. And what people in abusive relationships are used to is always defending that person, because that person that is manipulating them always, you know, pushes the narrative of, well, you made me do this. If you didn't do this, then I wouldn't have reacted this way. So they perceive it as being cared for immensely. And they don't realize, like, okay, love should not be this chaotic and dysfunctional. And they have a lot of things to sort out that genuinely need professional help. And so, as much as we want to save people, we can't. Our job is to drop the seeds, meaning you express your concern and you leave it where it lies, right? That's my advice on that. Okay, let me see. How long did it take you to become so emotionally mature and emotionally stable? That is a great question. I mean, I genuinely think I consider myself to be a work in progress. I don't think there will ever be a time where I consider myself to have, like, I've arrived. I don't have that mentality of I've arrived. At the same time, I do acknowledge that I have come a long way, because I realize that through working on, you know, curating my own, you know, hobbies and a healthy mindset, educating myself on mental health, and just taking the time to genuinely be alone and having that solitude made me so confident. And it was such a very emotional roller coaster. You know, that's what self-healing is and self-love is, where it's just like, I work so hard to get here mentally. I cannot afford, you know, to put myself in a position now that I'm aware or in dynamics where I'm allowing things that I've healed from, that I've worked through. I'm not going to sign up for that again, because what is the point? I did not go through all this work to do the same things all over again. You understand what I'm saying? It's kind of like, you know, I relate everything with going to the gym because it's so easy. But let's just say, and I know people gain weight all the time back and forth. I'm guilty of this myself, where it's like sometimes you're on a kick and then you just end up gaining all the weight back, especially considering all that's going on in the world right now with, you know, the pandemic and everything like that. But just for argument's sake, hear me out. You go to the gym, you've been doing really, really well. You have been consistent. You're not going to, you know, in the height of your fitness journey, just undo all that progress because you realize how hard you worked to get to where you are now. And after a certain time, you know, of certain situations happening over and over again and things like that, and the wiser you become, you really genuinely become disinterested in certain things where it's like, oh, okay, I already see where this is going. I'm leaving. Like, you genuinely just, you literally lose tolerance for certain things where you're just like, I can't get myself to sign up for something like this. I can't get myself to engage in this. I can't get myself to react or even react in the same way that I used to because I have worked way too hard to get to where I am. When you do that work, it becomes so much easier for you to walk away from certain situations because you realize that you have done all the work. Being financially stable, being happy in your life, you were not going to be interested in, you know, guys that used to try and play you and do all these things because you are so happy where, yes, you are prioritizing your happiness and coming from a balanced place. So you don't find it interesting to entertain old dynamics. And so in regards to how long it took me, it depends on the person. For me, it feels like it took me 26 years. I'm 26. But in all seriousness, I think that it took me, I want to say this journey, if I'm really being honest, like spiritually and everything, I started this journey when I was 21. So I want to say it's been like a good 4 years for me. And, you know, I don't know. I'm still learning just like you guys are. And you just, it's just a matter of failing forward. Like I always say, where after a while you just don't respond the same. You can't because you get tired of being sick and tired. You get tired of, you know, pitying yourself and having all these excuses. Like genuinely, if you were always striving for better and you were not a victim, you get tired of the same things over and over, same situations, complaining about the same things. If you're a progressive person, it gets old. And so for me, I would genuinely say like it's been a 4-year journey. And I think it peaked in this past year, I would say. So I hope that answers your question. How to not catch feelings early? Well, one, I mean, when you look at the science of things, right? Let's just talk about that very briefly. When you are cuddling with someone, it releases oxytocin. It is going to, it's a bonding, okay, chemical, right? So you are going to catch feelings for someone without having any intimacy or anything. So one, you avoid being over this person's house prematurely. There's no reason for you to be at an individual's house if you know that you don't have that self-control. And let's say you do go over their house. Okay, well then stay in the living room, okay? Always try to put yourself in positions where there's someone home, if that's going to be the case, whatever, or whatever. If you can't do that, okay. And you have to know yourself. Like, don't lie to yourself. I'm just going to go over there. Nothing's going to happen. Especially if you were, you know, drinking here and there and just to relax and unwind and all these things. Don't put yourself in that position. Know yourself. Say, okay, I know I'm not strong enough to go over there and have nothing happen. I don't want to lie to myself and tell myself nothing's going to happen. Next thing you know, I'm in his room. We're cuddling. He's kissing on me and the rest is history. You don't want to do that to yourself. Also, okay, I know I have said in the past in my videos, like, you know, you have to be busy, all these things like that. And like, actually have things to do. Like, really, like genuinely, actually have things to do. Okay, fitness class with your friends, all these different things. Like, even, and if you're, especially you're single, you need to have a roster where you're not, you know, engaging, you know, constantly, because I think a lot of guys, especially in the beginning phase, they want to consume a lot of your time. It's natural. It's nothing offensive. They consume a lot of your time. And so, of course, it reads to us as extreme interest. because they are interested. It's just their motivation is one thing in the beginning. They're not, you know, usually pursuing your heart, you know, at first glance. I mean, let's be real here. That's just how the cookie crumbles. And so you cannot allow someone to consume all of your time. And then you're like, I don't know why I'm catching feelings. And it's like, well, sweetie, that's what's going to happen if you literally have seen this guy four times in a week for the past month. Like that's science now. It's like, of course you're going to feel some sort of attachment to someone that you have been spending significant amounts of time with. That's what's going to happen. You have to limit the time you're spending with someone by actually fulfilling it with things that are causing you joy, things that are not revolved around this person, right? You can't run away the right thing for you. You can't. How many times have we liked a guy that have we not liked a guy that has really, really liked us and we genuinely just don't feel that connection to them? Does it ward them away? No. We all have had experiences with guys that are super persistent and it's like, I literally do not feel the same. You could even say you don't feel the same and they'll still be in denial and swear up and down that you do and you don't. So in order to stop catching feelings early, one, you need to not be faithful to someone that is single and you're also single, okay? It's not cheating, ladies, to talk to more than one individual when you're dating. What is going on here, okay? And I know I used to be like that too, where it's like, oh, but I only like one person at a time. Like, I don't want to talk to multiple people. That's so exhausting. But the guys are doing it. And I'm not saying this from a toxic place of be equal with them, get even. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is it's natural self-preservation. Also, you can exercise your right to do so. And may the best man win, right? No, but really, it's honestly, that's what it is. Again, I say this in a non-toxic way. Genuinely, I really do. I don't want to perpetuate any toxicity. But at the end of the day, you need to understand you are exercising your right as a single woman. Hello? Hi. And also, you're not doing anything wrong whatsoever. And why limit yourself when someone has to prove to you, you can't distract yourself by spending copious amounts of time with one individual and then you turn around and you're like, why am I catching feelings? Because now it's on you. And we cannot, you know, constantly contribute to our own downfalls. You can't, you know, be like, oh, I went over his house and I went into his room and he said, oh, it's getting hot. So I took off all my clothes and I just put on his t-shirt. And like, I just don't understand how we ended up sleeping together. Like, I promise, like, that's not what I wanted to do. I believe you. It's probably not. But you have to understand that when you take off all your clothes and you put on a t-shirt and you are attracted to this person, it's not like you're not. You may not have been ready, right? But things happen, you know, things get hot and heated and one thing leads to another, you know, and I'm only speaking of consensually, by the way. I'm not talking about you saying no 1 million times and then finally giving in. That's not what I'm alluding to. I'm alluding to you consenting, you know, things are getting hot and heavy. You understand what I'm getting at. So to stop catching feelings early, you have to identify what makes you catch feelings early. That is spending a lot of time bonding with someone, okay, and not having a roster, not exercising your right as a single woman, and also not having actual things to do. That's it. Let's see. How to be consistent with dieting? So this is a great question. I think in the beginning of, you know, dieting or starting anything that's nutritious, I don't diet. I live a healthy lifestyle because diets always die out. Okay. I don't know anyone that's on a diet that is able to stay on a diet. But if it's a lifestyle, it removes that pressure off of thinking, oh crap, oh man, I just ate that chocolate bar, I ruined my diet. But if you tell yourself you live a healthy lifestyle, it's like, okay, I'm still aiming for a healthy lifestyle. This is a part of the journey. It sucks. I'm not proud of what I just did, that I just ate that. But after a while, you realize that when you work out and you eat like garbage, you genuinely don't feel good. It doesn't fuel your workouts. And it's going to take a couple of times of you messing up to realize that feeling, because I've done it a million times where it's like, I'll leave the gym and go eat Taco Bell and Checkers. And it's like, what is going on here? Like, I don't feel well. Like, and now in 3 seconds, it took me what? 30 minutes to burn like 100 calories, and I go and eat what, a Wendy's after I leave the gym. Next thing I know, I'm up 2,000 calories in 3 seconds, and I don't even count calories. But it's just like, when you think of it like that, it's such a waste. So you have to, it's going to take a couple times for of you messing up. But I was focused on working out first before I focused on diet, which is, I guess, backwards. But what, for me, it was always easier to work out than it was to eat healthy. And then naturally I realized, okay, if it's taking me this long to burn X amount of calories while I'm working out, I can only imagine how many calories I eat in a day. Because again, I don't count them, but I'm assuming that definitely can ruin the progress. Also, I like to run. If I had a heavy meal, I had French fries and, you know, a greasy vegan cheeseburger or something like that, it's like, how would I expect to feel in the morning? Especially in the beginning of your diet or your lifestyle change, everything counts in the beginning. Everything counts. Where it's like, now I can eat something that in the beginning I couldn't eat because for some reason when I got on the scale the next day, I would gain weight, so it would seem. And I still don't even understand how that works. I genuinely don't. But to be consistent with it, you have to lean into that feeling of, okay, how do I feel right now that I'm at the gym? Okay, I may not want to be here. I don't want to get up and go. But when I'm here, I do feel better. Usually that's the case for everyone, where when they are there, it's like, okay, I'm ready to do this. And find something that you enjoy. Don't put yourself through the torture of getting on the treadmill for 30 minutes if you genuinely hate it. No wonder you don't want to wake up and go. One, working out is painful and annoying, especially in the beginning. It takes a while before you actually enjoy it. And so for me, in the beginning of my journey, when I started fitness and when I was like 21, I said to myself, okay, I know I hate the treadmill, so I'm going to find other alternatives. So for me, that was spin. There are a million different ways to get your cardio in. You can dance. You can do Zumba. You could do twerking. Those are all dancing. You can do the elliptical. You can do spin, like I said. Like, there are a million other ways. You can do like a cardio Pilates class. You can do so many other different things, like a HIIT workout and things like that, calisthenics and things like that. You don't have to be like getting on the treadmill and thinking that, you know, getting on there for an hour and killing yourself. Like, you can't make it misery, babe. If you make it misery, you're never going to want to do it. It has to be something you genuinely enjoy, which is why diets never worked for me. And I've tried, right? Every ebook, diet coach, all these different things, and I have never followed it. Never. Never, not once. I couldn't get, and I was sad. I was discouraged. I was like, why can't I follow a diet? There was, these people are sitting here telling me to eat one packet of oatmeal. Girl, I'm starving. Okay. And it's like, now that I said I'm on a diet, I'm hungrier than ever. Help me, please. Like, genuinely, I can't do this. Next thing you know, I'm binging out because I'm like, okay, well, screw this. I'm literally emaciated and I cannot deal with this any longer. So it's really about finding what works for you. Okay. And genuinely just making small changes. Like, okay, I'm going to cut out dairy, or I'm going to have a meatless Monday, or I'm going to focus on, instead of maybe obsessing over the calories, I'm going to make sure I'm upping my water consumption. Okay. Every time I think I'm hungry, I'm going to check in with myself and say, all right, but am I really hungry, or do I just want something to eat out of habit? okay? Identify those little things. And also remember, working out is going to motivate you, and that's what it did for me, into eating healthier, because you feel like trash. You have no energy to work out and you feel sick when you're eating like garbage and you're trying to work out. And then eventually it all corresponds, because you're like, wait, listen, I'm not going to go eat a bunch of French fries, all day long, and Oreos, because now I don't feel well and I'm tired of regretting this over and over and over again. I hope that answers your question. A guy I talked to for 2 months and slept with ghosted and blocked me. How to be more wise? Well, I'm just going to say this out of love, that there were definitely signs. A lot of us love to think, I think it's a defense mechanism where we think, oh, I was so blindsided by this. And it's like, but were you really though? Like, I don't believe that we are blindsided by things for the most part. I think there are always signs. And guys, especially, we know now, ladies, especially if you're watching my channel, guys, they love bomb you. Guys will genuinely say anything to get with you. Anything. Right? Some of them last longer than the others, where it seems like everything they're saying is aligning with their actions. But if someone is not your man, you should not be sleeping with them. They have not earned that right, because now they lose all motivation to want to pursue something serious with you, for the most part, okay? Because in their eyes, they're thinking, oh, well, all it took was a month or 2 months maybe of consistency. Clearly, she's never had that before. So that's all I had to do. It's a small, it's no skin off their neck, because they love to chase anyway. It's fun for them. Then once the mission is conquered, then it's like, okay, thank you. I'm done. Thank you for that. Is that healthy? Should it be like that? No, of course not. Whatever. That's how we live in society, whatever. But there are always signs, right? You have to remind yourself. You have to follow, one, your intuition, and not let your emotion get wrapped up in him being consistent for 30 days or what have you, because there are always signs. And also, no one should get that, access to your body if they're not willing to commit to you. That's it at the end of the day. Yes, we are all adults and things like that, and that should not dictate whether or not someone wants to be with you. But a lot of the times, that's what happens. And that's why my next YouTube video, I talked about how to avoid heartbreak and saving yourself. So you definitely want to tune into that when it's posted, because that video is definitely going to be for you. Because a lot of the times this happens way too often, where we, especially the first guy that communicates more than, all the other guys we've experienced, those guys tend to be the biggest like disappointments, because we are confused, because we think we're reciprocating what they're doing, but really they're just motivated by one thing. They just were able to be consistent with it a little bit longer than what we're used to. And that's the problem. But at that point, you have to tell yourself, okay, if this person is so interested, okay, well then why are we not together then? How about that? Okay. So I'm going to answer one more question, guys. This has been very, very interesting. So let's see. So this last question says, I'm 16 and I'm talking to an 18-year-old. I don't have a lot of options in my town. He used to be a cheater and F-boy. Should I date him for experience or wait for someone else? My fear is that guys won't like me if I don't have experience. Well, one, you are very young, okay? And dating, someone that's only 2 years older is not usually that big of a deal. However, guys, their hormones are raging, especially at 18 years old. And you have all the evidence that you need that this person is a potential, heartbreaker. Okay. I mean, you said he used to be a cheater and an F-boy. What evidence do you have that he's still not? That's the thing. And I don't think this is a good decision, Angel, because why? You seem to be making this decision based on fear and a lack of self-esteem. And that's not a throw down or a put down to you, because I think we all experience that, you know, at your age. But you don't want to make a decision with someone like that, that you already know used to be this. He's 18. He still is that. He's just begun his stages of being an F-boy and a cheater, especially at 18. Usually in my experience, when I was growing up, guys that were 18 were actually faithful. I don't know what life is like now. But I'm pretty much guaranteeing that it's a lot different. He is still very much this person. Okay. And I don't think you seem like a sweet girl. I don't think it's a sound decision to get with this type of individual, especially if you're indicating that you don't have that much experience. Then why would you want to be with someone that you know has had experience way more than you and used to be a cheater and this and that? Not a good idea. One of the worst things that you could do, because I think as innocent, you know, an innocent, you know, girl, we are very naive. We tend to be very naive. And so with that being said, we are attracted to like the bad guys, the guys that have all the experience, because we're drawn to that. It's like, to some degree, yes, opposites do attract a lot of the times. But the mistake is, and you want to avoid this, is doing something before you're ready and having the fear of, oh, I don't know if I'm going to have that much experience. He could either really like that. And a lot of girls your age usually sometimes don't have that much experience. I mean, you're 16. I think that's really young, in my personal opinion. And clearly we know that he is not, you know, he is more experienced than you are. So why would you want to be with someone who has way more experience than you have? I don't think it's a good idea, because you're going to get pressured into doing something you don't want to do. And you already know his history and how he used to be, apparently. And I'm telling you, he didn't used to be like that. He is still very much like that. And I think that you shouldn't date someone for this type of experience. You don't need the experience of dating the ex-cheater and the F-boy who's only 18 years old. You need to date someone that's going to go at your pace, okay? The guys that are not super loud, always on the scene, you want to stay away from guys like this. This is a typical mistake that innocent, young, naive girls make. They always want to go after the guy that's popular and like very on the scene and used to do this and used to do that. And the next thing you know, you end up very heartbroken. You end up losing, you know, your virginity, you know, out of pressure, not because you're ready. And these guys, literally, they dump you and they move on to the next. It's interesting. Guys like this, when they're young like that and they play games like that, they tend to make girls their girlfriend. And they literally will like get, you know, intimate with you and then literally dump you, as opposed to when they're older, they'll just avoid commitment as a whole. Again, I'm not entirely sure, because again, I'm not 18 in 2021, but that's my experience from what I've observed about, you know, young guys and that are 18 and younger and things like that. So I think you should wait for someone else, and you should never make a decision based on fear, because you're not coming from a place of confidence, and that will ultimately be your downfall, because we already have all the evidence that we need about this one guy. Okay, Angel? So I hope that answers your question. I hope you guys have enjoyed this episode. Maybe you have resonated with some of the questions that people have asked, and I will, of course, have more submissions next Sunday with a topic, more than likely. I just figured a good intro into this would be to answer more questions for you guys. So I love you so much, and I will see you guys in my next podcast episode. Mwah.